from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The premier baseball show in Chicago, Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel.
From Lone Depot Park in Miami, Florida, it's game two of this 3-game weekend series between the Chicago Cubs and the Miami Marlins. Runner not going. Here's a swing and drive deep left center field. I think he's done it again. Another home run for Suzuki. Left center gone by plenty. Cubs lead 3-0. It's the Seiya Show here in South Florida. And this one belongs to the Chicago Cubs. 14-2 of the final. Cubs begin to celebrate. It's a low-key celebration, but they are back to 500.
Well, the hitters better be ready for whatever, because two tough lefties coming at them tonight. On the left, Tarek Skubal, the starter for the Detroit Tigers, one of the best in the big leagues. And on the right, getting the start for the White Sox, Kai Bush. Ty McKinstry, 1-for-4 tonight. And he sends this one a long way, and that one will leave the park. So McKinstry, his fourth home run of the season. 3-2. Holding on is Rogers behind the plate as Miller strikes out the side in the ninth, and that'll do it. It's the Tigers with a 13-4 win over your White Sox, taking the first two games in this 4-game series.
It's time for Hit and Run with your host, Matt Spiegel.
Bum, 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 bum. We're so early for the low brass. Good morning, everybody. It is me, Matt Spiegel, here with you. I was not here last week, and boy, did I miss you. Thanks to Gabe Ramirez for filling in. Here's the low brass. Just two more episodes of Hit and Run for the summer of 2024. And then the Bears take over. This is our moment where we rage against the dying of the light. That is the baseball season. Because it's just getting great, isn't it? Like, over the last few weeks, everything is percolating. It's interesting all over the league. I mean, it's been interesting all year if you're me, or perhaps if you're you, because you love baseball. But goodness, you know, a lot of times what happens is I'll go on to the MLB app on a weekday morning or whenever, and I'll be like, okay, what did I miss last night? And the other day I was there and I was like, oh, that story's interesting. Oh, that story's interesting. Oh, that story's interesting. Oh, that story's interesting. There's just stuff in every direction. My goodness. Just as a sprinkling and a sampling, Scott Servais fired, a terrific manager, a victim of an inept offense, and a GM who pulls every lever he possibly can. And Dan Wilson is there. Dan Wilson with intense and important history for the Mariners and for other teams, including some in this town. So, look, that's interesting. How about the San Diego Padres, where they are? All of this without Yu Darvish. The Padres 15-500, and Yu Darvish is nowhere and may not come back. It's crazy. Paul Skenes may be getting shut down. You know, just there's just stuff all over the place. The Angels keeping their GM for another 2 years? What the hell? Artie Moreno is an odd duck, man. Just an odd, odd duck. Vladimir Guerrero on the run of a lifetime. Vlad Jr. just absolutely torching the ball. The Rangers failing. The Astros charging. The Guardians remaining what they are. Judge and Soto explosive. The Orioles scuffling but then coming back. And that battle for the American League East is interesting. The Royals showing you they can hang with some of the best teams in baseball. It's just and then Shohei Ohtani being Shohei Ohtani. Don't look now, but the Brewers are 8-2 in their last 10, reminding you that they've been the best team in that division by a wide, wide margin since day one. And meanwhile, the Chicago White Sox with a record of 31-99. 32 games left. If they lose 22 of the 32, they will have the most losses in the history of Major League Baseball. I think they could do it. 10-32.
I mean, they lost 21 in a row, man.
Yeah. 10-22, excuse me.
10's nothing, man.
So, yeah, 10-22. I think they can do it. I think they're going to do it. 31 wins is just crazy to look down and see. Denny McClain did that in 1 year, 1968. One guy, 1 year. And the White Sox, that's what they have as a team at this point. A .238 winning percentage. They are 41.5 games back in the wild card. 41.5 back of the wild card. 43.5 games back for the division. I mean, it's just, it's astonishing. And you'll hear from Chris Getz a little bit later on. He was on Inside the Clubhouse yesterday. You'll hear a little bit from Dansby Swanson, who was on Inside the Clubhouse yesterday. We'll talk to two of our favorite sports media people here in the waning days of Hit and Run on the White Sox. We'll talk to Ryan McGuffey from the Sox Talk podcast and the man from NBC Sports Chicago. And we will talk to Sahadev Sharma from The Athletic, one of the finest beat writers for any team in any sport in the country. Saw him and his teammate Patrick Mooney the other day in the clubhouse. I urged them to work better together, you know, have a little more teammateship, help each other out a little bit more. The competitive juices too often are flowing. And Patrick Mooney said, you know what they say about The Athletic, 25 bylines, 25 cabs. Now, that's a funny line. And it goes back to, I believe the first time that was ever referenced was the Red Sox in the 70s. But I can't be sure. 25 guys, 25 cabs. You want to go to dinner? No, screw you. But now we know that team chemistry matters. Team chemistry is a big deal. Hey, along the way, your phone calls and your texts not merely welcome, but elemental to the very completion of the broadcast. We broadcast live from the Scores Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And you, when you call, you can join us via the guest line and the listener line, I should say. The Score listener line, powered by BetQL, Bet Smarter, and Beat the Books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. We are here till about 11:55. Cubs play the Marlins as they go for the sweep. We'll hit that in a moment conversationally. So that'll be coming your way. They conclude their series against the Marlins. That pregame coverage actually begins at 12:05 with first pitch at 12:40 on the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. And a reminder, the baseball coverage on the Score is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. So, look, dial it up, get involved, text, get involved. Some of you have already texted. The show has not even begun, but you know I'll be here, and you know we're going to talk baseball for three Rock'em Sock'em hours on a Sunday morning. I'm Matt Spiegel, feeling very grateful to get to talk baseball as we see fit in this unique two-team town and to have the associate producer over there working the phones. Is he over there, Sean? There he is.
He's over here. He's wide awake, too.
Yeah, wide awake. That's a bonus. This is last shift of the year.
That's what he was telling me,
man. Yeah, school begins tomorrow. So, callers, if you'd like to give advice to the associate producer on algebra, that's what's coming. It's time for algebra. He says he's done algebra before. I still use algebra all the time. In fact, I just put the 31 over the 130 for the White Sox win total, and then I said that equals X over 162, you know? And I multiplied the 130 and the X and then divided that. Yeah, I tried to do it anyway.
So you're using math to try and get him to like baseball?
Well, hey, man, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. The cab thing, say the callers, the listeners, the texters, was for the 1970s Oakland A's. Okay, good. That sounds good. So the 1970s Oakland A's, the Charlie Finley A's, even though they were good, they had no team chemistry. All right, love it. I love when the listeners can help me fill in the context of a story I half remember. All right, look, here's the deal. I like this Cubs team way more than I did 2 months ago. Way more than I did 3 months ago. Maybe even 6 weeks ago. All of a sudden, I look at this team and I'm like, you know what? That's a pretty interesting bullpen, isn't it? Jorge Lopez can be a closer. Porter Hodge can be a closer. Seems to me that Craig Counsell is using those two guys for particular kinds of batters, particular pockets of the opposing lineup. And not wanting to anoint one the closer, because it depends. If he needs Porter Hodge and his stuff to face people in the eighth, as he did on Friday, then he'll use Lopez in the ninth. Or he may use Porter in the eighth. Makes me wish I'd gone down that kind of path conversationally with the man when we spoke during the week. But by the way, when we spoke during the week, it was one of his better appearances of the year. It was me and Gabe Ramirez. And Craig was very nice to Gabe. He welcomed Gabe. He thought Gabe's debut was spectacular, in his words, as Craig was messing with us.
Wow, good for Gabe.
Yeah, he called me Speegs at one point in there. He's like, he's getting comfortable. He's getting comfortable with us now.
That's a win, man.
Now that Danny's gone.
It was really in the way.
Yeah, he was really in the way. There was an elephant in the room, which was their awkward personal relationship. But that's for another story. It's another time, another place. Find me off the air. We'll talk about it. Anyway, it's all right. I know Danny's not listening because he never did, even when he was here.
Keep going.
Even when he was here and he was my partner, he was never listening. But anyway, and I wish the man well. His new show starts tomorrow. Kill it, buddy. I've texted him. Everybody's good. A different show has been texting and staying in touch, as we always will. So anyway, Counsell was good talking about the closers. Anyway, this bullpen's interesting, man. Tyson Miller can be useful. Obviously, Porter Hodge and Jorge Lopez can be useful. Julian Merriweather has his moments. There is no Hector Neris, and that is a delight. There are lots of people. Drew Smyly's been a stud. Drew Smyly, as the lone lefty doing whatever is asked of him at any time, has been an absolute veteran stud. Much respect. And, of course, the bottom of the order is killing it. Miguel Amaya should be making you pause before you think that the Cubs have to upgrade at catcher over the offseason. I know that's the obvious spot in terms of zooming out and thinking big picture, but look at the way Miguel Amaya is hitting since he went to the no stride on the 27th of July, and think about the left-handed bat of Moises Ballesteros at AAA, which needs to be in the big leagues next year. And if he can be useful as a catcher and then be replaced by Miguel for defense, even in games when Miguel has it off, they can split time like that next year. I look, if there's an obvious catcher upgrade available, you'll consider it. But to me, you tell me it's Amaya and Ballesteros, that feels an awful lot like the Blue Jays' good tandem of Danny Jansen and Alejandro Kirk as of a year or two ago. Because Ballesteros reminds me of Kirk. Ballesteros' numbers, by the way, are very unique. There are very few hitters who have ever done what he is doing at AAA. And he did this all the way on the way up. And there's very few that did what he's doing at AAA and then failed in the big leagues. That is a bat that needs to play next year. So anyway, that's a big picture thing that I zoom out and think about.
Plus, he's 5'7", and he hits tanks, man. How much fun is that?
He is fun, but he's good. So here's the thing. I find this whole team more likable. The quality of defense. My goodness. Now that Cody Bellinger is in right on the regular and Seiya Suzuki is often DHing. That makes all the sense in the world. I know he plays defense every once in a while. Seiya, by the way, continues a very, very solid year offensively. The OPS, I believe, is what, around 840 now after two homers and a triple yesterday. Amazing moment yesterday when Seiya was walked by a right-handed pitcher to then get Bellinger with the bases loaded. You don't see that very often, but that's after he hit two absolute bombs in his first two at-bats. And Seiya Suzuki hitting the ball very hard with consistency. But it's all over that team defensively. You'll hear from Dansby Swanson, as I mentioned later on. That defense remains elite. Isak Paredes was slumping badly, no more. Ian Happ has leveled off. And the starting pitching, man. Look, Javier Assad goes again today. He's got an ERA of 3.11. The stuff being what it is, it's sort of a mystery as to how he's as good as he is. Dude just knows how to pitch, and he bears down and makes big pitches when he needs to. Shota Imanaga is one of the great bargains among starting pitchers in all of baseball. Last time he pitched in this ballpark, where he pitched yesterday in Miami, was in the clinching game of the World Baseball Classic. A reminder that that is the dude that they trusted to give the ball to in a game that big. And Shota continuing to show that he knows what the hell he's doing. Cubs, by the way, became the first team in baseball history to have one Japanese-born player have three extra base hits, while another Japanese-born player got the win in the same game with Seiya and Shota yesterday. And no, Shohei Ohtani has never done that all by himself. That courtesy of Optostats, including the Shohei reference, which is hilarious. Shohei, by the way, threw off a mound yesterday for the first time this year. So he's 40-40, maybe has a chance to go 50-50. And oh, by the way, he'll pitch again next year. Worth every penny. Crazy. But this Cubs team is way more likable than it was a couple of months ago, and I want to talk about it with you. And let me say this. If they are at 7.6% to make the playoffs on the 6th of September, then it should still feel possible. You know why? Think about it for a minute. If they are at 7.6% on September 6th, it should still feel possible. Because last year, they were at 92.4% on September 6th and completely and utterly fell apart. So why not flip that script for this year? 7.6% and then turning it on like crazy? It could happen.
All it takes is someone to drop a pop-up for you to get you in the playoffs, man.
Down in Atlanta. Here's the deal. They're in the midst of this stretch where they have to make hay. You have to sweep the Marlins. You have to. That team is begging to be swept, their place or not. My God, that team. That is an organization subsisting on revenue sharing, paying no one a real salary, drawing no one to their mausoleum of a ballpark. They are endlessly young. They are raw. They are bad. The occasional bright spot toils in complete anonymity. How about Jake Berger with 25 bombs? He's a power stud. He's righty Schwarber with more defensive utility. And nobody knows or cares because he's in Miami. Sweeping the Marlins is a must. I mean, they're a mess. How about the pitcher McMillan with that shovel pass to nobody on the Michael Bush infield hit to score two runs? What the hell was that thing? It looked like an option quarterback who got confused and just pitched it to no one. I'm surprised that the third base ump didn't pick it up and run 60 yards the other way for a touchdown. Skip Schumacher may actually think the White Sox are an upgrade. He may. He'll have other places to go, other opportunities to manage. I don't believe he's coming to Chicago, but that's another conversation. But you got to sweep the Marlins. I told Nico Horner when we talked last week that We needed the Cubs to go 12-3 in the 15-game stretch that began after the Blue Jays series. That would make it 14-4 in the 18-game stretch that includes the Blue Jays series, these six straight series against theoretically beatable teams. Of course, the Cubs themselves are a theoretically beatable team. But yeah, 14-4 in that 18-game stretch. And let's see where you are after that. 12-3 in this 15-game stretch. And let's see where you are after that. So 12-3, they took, what, 2 of 3 from Detroit and 2 straight now against Miami. So they're 4-1 in the first 5 of that batch. And they could pass the Giants today. In terms of the wild card, the Cubs find themselves 5.5 back in the wild card. The Giants are 5 back. Giants 1/500. The Cubs are at 500 for the first time since, I think it was the 4th of June. And they could pass the Giants. Then they've got to get the Mets. And then they've got to get the Braves. And the Braves is the tough one to imagine, frankly. Because, once again, they went and got reinforcements, and they are working for them. Alex Anthopoulos, the general manager of the Braves, you've seen it every year. Every year that they're in it, he goes out and he gets. Remember the year he went and got Jock Peterson and Adam Duvall and Jorge Soler, and they made their charge. This year, they were hurting with Acuna out and Michael Harris out, and now Austin Riley is out. And they went out and they got Whit Merrifield and they got Ramon Laureano and they got Gio Urshela. In fact, all three of those had multi-hit games last night. All three of them. Laureano homered to really bury that game. Merrifield scored on the double by Matt Olson that tied the game. So three additions all had multiple hit games last night. And the Braves, I believe, are 7-3. In their last 10, they've won 3 in a row, and the reinforcements have mattered. So it's hard to imagine the Cubs getting there, but I want to talk to you and find out how you feel. Phone lines are open. Make the associate producer work. 312-644-6767. Make him earn his money today. Want to know where you are on belief that the Cubs could actually do this. Got to pass the Giants, which could be today. Got to catch the Mets, and then they got to catch the Braves. Or hope the Padres collapse. Because the Diamondbacks are not going to. 1 to 10, where are you on Cubs belief? That's one of the questions. And for you, the White Sox fans, oh boy, I don't even know. I mean, it's bad. You know it's bad, and it's going to be bad. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Numbers is what it is. The lines are open. Let's chat. Ryan McGuffey at the top of the hour. Sahadev Sharma at 11. You, the listener, and me on Hit and Run. We'll come back and also hear about how the skipper feels about the super fun kid. Thanks for listening. It's Hit and Run. Just getting rolling on 670 The Score.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
I think we're all set. Here's a drive to deep right off the bat of Crow Armstrong. That's going to be off the glove of the right fielder, Sanchez. It rolls out toward right center. Crow Armstrong racing around third. He's going to try to score. The throw to the plate, the slide. He is safe. Inside the park, home run. Pete Crow Armstrong. Electrifying. The Marlins might. They're not going to challenge the play. An inside the park home run, one of the most exciting things you can ever see in a ball game.
Pete Crow Armstrong, 14 seconds from home to home the other night. That kid is so toolsy and so swaggy and so fun. It's just a different time in baseball. It used to be, if a kid like that came up, they would teach him to be Brett Butler. Hey, do me a favor. Just go oppo as often as you can. Do some drag bunts every once in a while to surprise them. Make sure you make contact. You'll beat out a lot of grounders. Walk a little bit, and don't you dare try to slug. You're not big enough. You're not strong enough. Don't you dare try to hit home runs. Let other people do that, you know? And then maybe he'd be a 770 OPS guy, have an on-base of around 370, something like that. Steal 40 bases, you know? Have 160 hits and a bunch of walks and have under 10 home runs. They don't ask people to do that anymore. Hell, even Stephen Kwan hits for some power every once in a while in Cleveland, right? Pete Crow Armstrong can hit for some power. And so they're going to allow him, are the Cubs, to try and do that every once in a while. They're not messing with him at the plate offensively. They're kind of letting him try and figure it all out. And then sometimes he will connect on absolute blasts like he did yesterday. Listen to this call from Zach Zaman. This is a two-run bomb from Pete Crow Armstrong, middle of that game against the Marlins yesterday.
Here's the 1-1 to PCA. He swings and drills one high and deep to right, way out of here. An upper deck job by Pete Crow Armstrong. He raises his right hand up in the air as he rounds second base. What a blast by Pete Crow Armstrong, and the Cubs extend the lead. Now up 5-1 over the Marlins here in the fifth. What a shot.
You know, it's a upper tank job about halfway up that upper tank. They said 437. I would have bought it was longer, but, you know, it can be visually confusing based on the way that these ballparks are mapped out. But my goodness, that is a kid with a lot of power and obviously a lot of speed. Just doesn't have a ton of bat control, doesn't make a ton of contact, but he's got an opportunity to maybe develop that and then end up as a fully and complete ball player. It is exciting and it is intriguing. Got a text from Mike from LaGrange Park who thought about Pete Crow Armstrong in the classic five-tool mode, that Pete is a guy who's got the run tool, as we know. He's got the throw tool. It's a pretty accurate and strong arm. And he's got the field tool. Does he have the power? A little bit. Does he have the hit tool in full? No, not quite. Those are the two most important ones, of course. But the other ones matter. He's the 3 out of 5 tool guy right now, and there's a lot of fringy ball players who have just those 3 tools, as you know. But man, if he gives you some of that power and some of that hit tool, then all of a sudden you've got a really special young player right there in your midst. And they're going to let him try and develop that. You know what they want, right? They want guys, they dream of guys who can swing for the fences until there's 2 strikes and then show you the Cody Bellinger-esque bat control with 2 strikes. And there's very few people in baseball that can do that full thing. Very, very few. And so when you ask somebody to do all of that, it can really be difficult and really confuse them, and it can break them. See Kyle Schwarber sent back to the minors. See Ian Happ sent back to the minors. See Kyle Schwarber, who kind of stops trying to be that guy when he goes somewhere else and is just, you know, a power demon who they never should have let go. See Anthony Rizzo, who, like Bellinger, could actually do it. And so you dream of somebody who can do that. but it's very, very few. They're going to let Pete try to develop into that skill set, and we'll see if he can. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Got some open phone lines if you want to hop in and talk on Hit and Run on the Score. This is Paul in Valpo. What do you say, Paul? How are you?
Hey, good morning, Matt. Going to miss you in a couple of weeks. Great season as always.
Thanks, buddy.
No problem. So I think we always look for transparency in our general managers and our front offices. I think this is kind of what Jed and Carter have been talking about all along. This is a team that was still developing, and I don't think they're going to catch the Braves because I don't think the Braves schedule is as hard as everyone thinks that they've got a lot of poor teams mixed in there along with some tough teams they play. I think the Cubs, I have faith they'll get to 85 or 86 wins. I just don't think they'll catch the Braves. But don't you see that as far as the development with Crow Armstrong, obviously the change in Amaya's stance, hitting stroke with the delay kick. I think they kind of told us that with what they did in the offseason. Obviously, Imanaga was a great signing, and hopefully he'll continue to do that through the years in this contract. But development. But it still doesn't change the fact that they're going to have to get, because I don't think he's in the minors. They have a lot of good players in the minors, but they don't have a Soto or they don't have a Judge. They're going to have to figure out a way to get one of those guys in the middle of the lineup if they're really going to want to make that next step.
Yeah, that's superstar. Boy, that would change things. I really didn't like the report from our guy Bruce Levine about Corbin Burnes being the focus. I really don't like that thought in terms of using your free agent money on something like Corbin Burnes, who'll be a free agent pitcher looking for a big old 5-year deal. And even though he's got familiarity with counsel, Burnes is smart. He's very good. But he's also a guy whose stuff is fading just a little in terms of fastball velocity, and his swing and miss rate, his strikeout rate, is in decline over the last 4 or 5 years. Still very good, good for him, but not somebody I want to invest big free agent dollars in. And I don't see the need right now for that in terms of that being the big investment. Now, maybe they'll make a couple of big investments, but yeah, this is a time to go get yourself that superstar. So is it a trade for Vladimir Guerrero Jr.? And you put him at first base, and Michael Busch becomes your DH, or maybe Michael Busch is included in that trade to Toronto for Vladimir Guerrero Jr. for 1 year of Vlad, and then you figure something else out at first base. That's an option. Do you think about it that way? You know, there are other outfielders out there like Teoscar Hernandez and Anthony Santander, who's got 38 home runs this year, including a grand slam the other night for the Blue Jays, for the Orioles, I should say. That's interesting, but somebody's going to pay a lot for him. And and that's not somebody you think of as a superstar having a huge year and a breakout year for a really good team. And he's their veteran leader, but obviously Soto, you dream of Soto. But having somebody you could play in right field, this is, of course, assuming that Cody Bellinger opts out. If Cody Bellinger opts in, is this your team for next year? It's hard to think about because of how underwhelmed you were during so many months of the year. But look where they are now. It's a lot more fun. I had mentioned that I'm having so much more fun. I like this team so much more. And several texters are agreeing. You are correct. It's hard to imagine the Cubs getting there, but it's so much more fun watching them try. If they fall 2 games short, we will have gotten to watch a lot of good baseball between now and then. Even really between like June 1 and them. It's really interesting how much better they are. And how much better you feel. I will say this about the Braves schedule. And by the way, phone lines open at 312-644-6767. Ryan McGuffey on the White Sox at the top of the hour. The Braves schedule, they'll finish up with the Nationals today and then be watching this week. Can the Cubs make some hay on the rest of this road trip as the Braves are in Minnesota for 3 and at the Phillies for 4. So the next 7 games on the road for the Braves against good teams. And the Braves are the one you're chasing. The Braves are the one to think about. because, yeah, you got to get past the Mets, you got to get past the Giants first, but the Braves are the one that's hard to imagine getting by for me. But we will see. We'll take a break and continue with your phone calls and your texts here on Hit and Run at 312-644-6767. It's Spiegs on a Sunday morning on The Score.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
Yeah, I'd say similar to the way we looked at the deadline. I mean, I don't think things have changed that much. We've played better, but I don't think our odds have increased that much. And so, you know, just like, you know, trading lighter, you know, at that point, obviously, like, you know, it was probably a factor like that. Like, we just traded for Neely. He was throwing well. You know, giving him the time to, you know, to take a look at him now, and, you know, made a lot of sense for where we are.
Things haven't changed that much. The attitude also hasn't changed that much. Team's still playing hard. Team's still going for it. Manager's still believing. Seems like the team is still believing. And that has made for some fun baseball to watch. I appreciate having some entertaining and some competitive baseball here in the month of August. They have not gone into the tank. And that's good. They find themselves 5.5 back in the wild card, chasing the Giants and then the Mets and then the Braves. And as the texter points out, Cubs have by far the easiest schedule remaining of any of those teams. By far the easiest schedule remaining in all of baseball, in fact. And the Giants play 24 games against current playoff teams. The Mets play 19 against current playoff teams. The Braves play 17 against current playoff teams. The Cubs, 9. 9 games against current playoff teams. They got the Dodgers and they've got the Yankees coming up after this stretch of 18 against sub 500. But even that includes the Pirates with some serious matchups against those big Pirates arms this week. Skeens not yet shut down. So it's Keller and Jones and Skeens this week for the Pirates against the Cubs. Tough, tough stretch. So we may be singing a different tune already by Thursday or so. Let's go to the phone lines here on Hit and Run. Stan is in Bellwood on The Score. What's up, Stan? Good morning.
Good morning to you, Steve. How you been?
I'm solid. Thank you so much.
Sounds good. Hey, listen, talking about the Cubs here, and they are making things interesting down the stretch with 4 or 5 weeks left. But their situation kind of high. The thing that stands out to me and what's highlighted here, they've moved into second place in the Central, but they're, you know, with them, they have the biggest disappointment is the fact that they squandered the opportunity in the division. And kudos to the Brewers. They've dominated the Central all year. Now, I don't recall your picks back at the start of the season, but I picked the Cubs to win the division.
As did I.
Okay, so now they find themselves only in the wild card chase because they urinated away their chances in the division.
Absolutely. Hold on, Stan. And a big reason that they did is that they didn't do enough in the bullpen. And then what they were banking on with the three power arms in the bullpen, Merriweather, hurt, Adbert, bad, then hurt, and Yency Almonte, inconsistent, then hurt. That's and Neris, never supposed to be a closer, all of a sudden a closer. So, I mean, to me, that's the biggest thing. Bullpen's been the best in baseball since June 1st. But up until then, bullpen was a disaster. If it was under control, it's a very different kind of season.
Well, their offense, too, Spiegs, was anemic for about 3 months.
It's true.
But here's the thing. All right, now they are, to simplify their scenario, they are in fourth place for the final berth. So, you know, you can talk about their weak schedule the rest of the season. But when you're in fourth place, you don't control your destiny no matter how weak your schedule is. They need three teams to come back to them even if they continue to win. So I don't really like their chances here. There's precedent, though. You know, the 64 Phillies, they had a 6.5 game lead with 12 games left in the season and then went out and lost 10 straight. And the Cardinals went 8-2 over that span. But the Cardinals were in second place. They weren't in fourth place. So, you know, the Braves could continue to lose, Spies, but the Cubs still have to overtake the Giants and the Mets, too. They don't control their destiny, and that's the thing. You know, if they were like third or second, you know, it would be different, and the Braves losing would put the, you know, it would put the Cubs' playoff chances in their wheelhouse.
Yeah, but no, I think they dug themselves such a big hole that it's hard to see them pulling out of it. I mean, it's absolutely true. What's crazy is just the way this season has gone. They were in good shape at one point. They were 18-12 at one point, and then things got so bleak at 39-48 in early July. You know, they buried themselves. They buried themselves with the bullpen and the offense, and it's going to take a lot, and they do not control their own destiny. And it's a very, very difficult moment. But where's your belief between 1 and 10? I find myself at about a 5 and change, maybe a 5.5. And that's more than I thought I'd be here on August 25th. This is Ken in Grand Rapids, Michigan on 670 The Score. Hey, Ken, good morning.
Hi, Matt. Good to talk to you.
You too.
Hey, you know, I guess the problem that I see with the Cubs and their potential playoff berth is that, if you remember, when they were going into the Guardian series, they were one game under, and they were 3.5 games out of the final wild card. And it took them 11 games to get to 500 and to be at 5.5 back in the wild card.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not going to work. There's only one way for them to get back into this, is that they really, really have to go on a huge winning streak. They cannot just, you know, play win one or win two, win and lose one. I mean, they just can't do that anymore. Not the way things are set up.
Well, if they, I mean, here's the thing: if they complete this sweep against the Marlins and find themselves at 66-65. That is 131 games with 31 left. And, you know, at 31 left, at 20, you know, you win 20 more of those 31. 20 out of 31, you're at 86 wins. Is that enough? Probably not. So you probably got to get to, what, 88 wins to feel good about getting in a crowded wild card race? It's hard for me to imagine the Padres falling apart with that bullpen. It's nearly impossible for me to imagine the Diamondbacks falling apart. I'm looking at you, Braves. Texter's looking at the Padres and hoping it's the Padres. I don't see it, but somebody needs to make it collapse. Last year it was the Cubs at 92.4% to make the playoffs on the 6th of September. And that's why 7.6% on the 6th of September should let you know that at least the inverse is possible. It's Matt Spiegel here with you on Hit and Run. Thanks for your calls. We'll take them all morning long. Ryan McGuffey from NBC Sports Chicago is next, talking White Sox here on The Score.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel. Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
Yeah, I'd say similar to the way we looked at the deadline. I mean, I don't think things have changed that much. We've played better, but I don't think our odds have increased that much. And so, just like you know, trading lighter, you know, at that point, obviously, like, you know, that it was probably a factor like that. Like, we just traded for Neely, he was throwing well, you know, giving him the time to, you know, to take a look at him now, and, you know, made a lot of sense for where we are.
Things haven't changed that much. The attitude also hasn't changed that much. Team's still playing hard. Team's still going for it. Manager's still believing. Seems like the team is still believing. And that has made for some fun baseball to watch. I appreciate having some entertaining and some competitive baseball here in the month of August. They have not gone into the tank. And that's good. They find themselves 5.5 back in the wild card, chasing the Giants and then the Mets and then the Braves. And as the texter points out, Cubs have by far the easiest schedule remaining of any of those teams. By far the easiest schedule remaining in all of baseball, in fact. And the Giants play 24 games against current playoff teams. The Mets play 19 against current playoff teams. The Braves play 17 against current playoff teams. The Cubs, 9. 9 games against current playoff teams. They got the Dodgers and they've got the Yankees coming up after this stretch of 18 against sub 500. But even that includes the Pirates with some serious matchups against those big Pirates arms this week. Skeens not yet shut down. So it's Keller and Jones and Skeens this week for the Pirates. Against the Cubs, tough stretch, so we may be singing a different tune already by Thursday or so. Let's go to the phone lines here on Hit and Run. Stan is in Bellwood on the score. What's up, Stan? Good morning.
Good morning to you, Steve. How you been?
I'm solid. Thank you so much.
Sounds good. Hey, listen, talking about the Cubs here, and they are making things interesting down the stretch with 4 or 5 weeks left, but their situation kind of the thing that stands out to me and what's highlighted here, they've moved into second place in the Central. But they're, you know, with them, they have the biggest disappointment is the fact that they squandered the opportunity in the division. And kudos to the Brewers. They've dominated the Central all year. Now, I don't recall your picks back at the start of the season, but I picked the Cubs to win the division.
As did I.
Okay, so now they find themselves only in the wild card chase because they urinated away their chances in the division.
Absolutely. Hold on, Stan. And a big reason that they did is that they didn't do enough in the bullpen. And then what they were banking on with the three power arms in the bullpen, Merriweather, Hurt, Adbert, bad then Hurt, and Yency Almonte, inconsistent then Hurt. That's and Neris, never supposed to be a closer, all of a sudden a closer. So, I mean, to me, that's the biggest thing. Bullpen's been the best in baseball since June 1st. But up until then, bullpen was a disaster. If it was under control, it's a very different kind of season.
Well, their offense, too, Spiegs, was anemic for about 3 months.
It's true.
But here's the thing. All right, now they are, to simplify their scenario, they are in fourth place for the final berth. So, you know, you can talk about their weak schedule the rest of the season. But when you're in fourth place, you don't control your destiny no matter how weak your schedule is. They need three teams to come back to them even if they continue to win. So I don't really like their chances here. There's precedent, though. You know, the 64 Phillies, they had a 6.5 game lead with 12 games left in the season and then went out and lost 10 straight. And the Cardinals went 8-2 over that span. But the Cardinals were in second place. They weren't in fourth place. So, you know, the Braves could continue to lose, Spies, but the Cubs still have to overtake the Giants and the Mets, too. They don't control their destiny. And that's the thing. You know, if they were like third or second, you know, it would be different. And the Braves losing would put, you know, it would put the Cubs' playoff chances in their wheelhouse.
Yeah, no, I think they dug themselves such a big hole that it's hard to see them pulling out of it. I mean, it's absolutely true. What's crazy is just the way this season has gone. They were in good shape at one point. They were 18-12 at one point, and then things got so bleak at 39-48 in early July. You know, they buried themselves. They buried themselves with the bullpen and the offense, and it's going to take a lot. And they do not control their own destiny. And it's a very, very difficult moment. But where's your belief between 1-10? I find myself at about a 5 and change, maybe a 5.5. And that's more than I thought I'd be here on August 25th. This is Ken in Grand Rapids, Michigan on 670 The Score. Hey, Ken, good morning.
Hi, Matt. Good to talk to you.
You too.
Hey, you know, I guess the problem that I see with the Cubs and their potential playoff birth is that if you remember when they were going into the Guardian series,
they were
1 game under and they were 3.5 games out of the final wild card. And it took them 11 games to get to 500 and to be at 5.5 back in the wild card.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not going to work. There's only one way for them to get back into this is that they really, really have to go on a huge winning streak. They cannot just, you know, play win one or win two, win, lose one. I mean, they just can't do that anymore. Not the way things are set up.
Well, here's the thing. If they complete this sweep against the Marlins and find themselves at 66-65, that is 131 games. With 31 left, and you know, at 31 left, at 20, you know, you win 20 more of those 31, 20 out of 31, you're at 86 wins. Is that enough? Probably not. So you probably got to get to what, 88 wins to feel good about getting in a crowded wild card race. It's hard for me to imagine the Padres falling apart. With that bullpen, it's nearly impossible for me to imagine the Diamondbacks falling apart. I'm looking at you, Braves. Texter's looking at the Padres and hoping it's the Padres. I don't see it, but somebody needs to make it collapse. Last year it was the Cubs at 92.4% to make the playoffs on the 6th of September. And that's why 7.6% on the 6th of September should let you know that at least the inverse is possible. It's Matt Spiegel here with you on Hit and Run. Thanks for your calls. We'll take them all morning long. Ryan McGuffey from NBC Sports Chicago is next, talking White Sox here on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.